This morning, I'm going to share with us from the book of Genesis, chapter 12, 1 to 4. Blessed to be a blessing. That's how I entitled this passage. Now, in order to really get the essence of this passage and its significance, I'm going to have to make quite a few cross-references. It's going to be a bit wordy, but I hope for your patience to follow me in this. Let's commit this time to God. Father in heaven, this is your word. We pray for your grace and your mercy to be upon us, because unless you speak, I will speak nothing. Unless you open the hearts and minds and the ears of all of us in this room, we will hear nothing. And therefore, Father, we ask for your grace and mercy to allow us to see exactly what you want us to see, that lives may be changed by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just going to read the passage. If it would just give me a minute. Read together with me, if you can. I mean, quietly, but yeah, if you have your Bibles with you. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you." Verse 4, so Abram left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. Now, we know that the Jews and the nation of Israel are descendants from Abraham. At this point in time, Abraham is still called Abram. That's his original name. Abraham was called Abram before, and that meant exalted father. But God changed his name later and made it Abraham, called him Abraham, and that means father of a multitude. And very often when religious Jews who hold Abraham with high regard would take pride almost in their lineage, that they're descendants of Abraham. Now, certainly what we read in this passage shows that God gave so much to Abraham, all these blessings. Now, why did God do that? Was it somehow because of his lineage, or was it because of his character? The only thing we know at this point in time in Scripture is a few verses before in chapter 11. We know that Abraham descended from Shem, one of the sons of Noah. All right, and Abram's father was Terah, and they lived in the place called Ur of the Chaldeans. Now, you see Ur at the bottom right-hand corner. And later on, Terah brought his family, together with Abraham, of course, up to Haran. And then, at the age of 75, we are told, God calls Abraham. So we don't know very much about, other than that he was a descendant from Shem, we don't really know very much about his lineage. What about his character? What about his character? In just a few verses after the passage we read, in verse 10, and then later on in Genesis chapter 20, we get a little bit of a sketch of what Abraham is like. Now, there was a famine in the land of Canaan. Abraham had actually moved from Haran down towards Canaan already. He was moving around there, and there was a famine. And he went down to Egypt because there was a famine. And there, he told his wife, he said, "Say to everyone who asks you that you are my sister." But he was actually his wife. So that Because his wife was very beautiful. Okay, his wife was very beautiful. She was probably about 60s, in her 60s at that time, but still very beautiful. And Abraham was afraid that people will look at her and say, wow, she's beautiful. And then if you know, she's married, I've got to kill the husband to get her. He was afraid for his own life. And so what he said, okay, tell everybody that you're my sister. And Pharaoh got wind of that. And Pharaoh saw her and said, I like her. Take her into the palace. She was now part of his harem. And it was God who intervened. He said, this is his wife. Of course, you know, Sarah was given back. Good thing, she was not defiled. And then you thought, okay, that's bad. That's really bad. You know, why would somebody use his wife as a pawn? Imagine if you were the wife, how would you feel? It's no good. And then in chapter 20, the same thing happens. Now he's in Gerar, the region of Gerar, and the king there is Abimelech. Exactly the same thing happens. Tell people you are my sister. And Abimelech, like Pharaoh, come to my household and took Sarah. God protected again. God intervened again. And Sarah was saved. Now, we know from this character sketch, it wasn't because of his good character that God chose Abraham. And so we can conclude that it is not because of that Abraham was perfect that God chose him. And in case we are still wondering, is there something really, you know, in the character, must be something about Abraham or his pedigree that could be have been a factor. Now let's look at this verse in Matthew 3, verse 7 to 9. I'll read for you from 7 to 9, but I've just highlighted verse 9. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming, and look, this is Jesus, all right? When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Do not think you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. You see, the Pharisees were the religious group. The Sadducees were the temple rulers. And so they always took pride in their lineage from Abraham as a basis of, oh, therefore I'm fine. And Jesus is telling them, no. Now, when he says, I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children of Abraham, that is significant. What can stones do? Nothing. What kind of lineage do stones have? My father was a rock. So what? So what Jesus is trying to say is, it's not your lineage. It's not your character. God can use these stones and turn them into children of Abraham. It's God's will. It's God's grace. It's God's mercy. Now that we have settled that, okay, let's ask the other question of why did God choose Abraham? Now we're talking about purpose. We're not talking about the individual qualifications. I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you. I will make your name great. And you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on this earth will be blessed through you. Now, there are two things here I want to point out. Firstly, look at the eyes. I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. These are God's initiatives. This is all God's initiative. Nothing to do with Abraham. And when he says, Abraham, you will, it's almost like, this is what I've determined for you. Abraham had nothing to do with it. And secondly, he says, you will be a blessing. And that is the key here. God wants to make use of Abraham so that he can bless the world. And what is this blessing that we are talking about here? Well, we have to go back all the way to the beginning, all right? Bear in mind that mankind, in rejecting God, had lived in opposition to God. It happened at the fall in the Garden of Eden. And because of God's love for man still, he sets out this reconciliation process, and he begins with Abraham, setting him apart, a holy person in that sense. And Abraham responded. Now, I'll talk a little bit more about blessings later, because the word occurs five times in different forms in this passage. But I want to move on a little bit first, and then I'll move back to the word blessings. Abraham responded to God's call, and he responded by faith. Okay, now, when I say he responded by faith, how do we know? Firstly, when God called Abraham out of Haran, what was he calling him to? He says, follow me, and I will bring you to this land that I'll make it yours. But he said, leave your family, your household. What does that mean? In today's terms, we talk about migration, we talk about travel, we have such things as TripAdvisor, we have Google Maps. We can find out what the place looks like, we can find out the environment, we can research about the people and everything, and then we just plan our route. And there was telecommunications. There is telecommunications today, all right? You can message, WhatsApp, but you're still in touch with people. Now, in those days when you're asked to move from one place to another, and bear in mind that Haran to Canaan was about 600 plus kilometers. That's from here to Rockhampton, approximately. And you didn't have maps in those days, maybe mud maps. That's the best you got. And he was being asked to leave his family. What does that mean in those days? Now, clan was the strength of an individual. You relied so much on your family for security, for well-being, looking after each other's needs. And you had security there. To ask him to leave that which was his home and his land is big. Now, if you tell me, okay, I want you to go to Minneapolis today and you live in this city and this is what you got for jobs, and everything is already planned. But then God didn't tell him where he was going. He just said, follow me. And he packed up. Amazing, he packed up. Second thing. Sorry, I'll just read this passage so that it sort of brings that down to earth. By faith, Abraham, this is Hebrews 11, verses 8 and 9, when called to go to a place where he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign land. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. So this is the first part where we can see Abraham exercise great faith. Second, and this is not found in this passage, it's found in chapter 22. We talk about his son. He was promised a son, Isaac. Not just any son, this was a son of the promise. His wife had Isaac at the age of 90. 90. Beyond childbearing age, this was a child of the miracle. His hopes were all on his son, because God said, through this son, you will have the nations I promised you. Now, when Isaac grew and he was 16 years old, you know what God did? God came to Abraham and said, tomorrow, go to the region of Moriah. On the mountain there, I want you to sacrifice Isaac to me as a burnt offering. Great job. Wow, this is his promised son. Yet it was said that Abraham, the next morning, he packed up everything, took a servant with him, mounted the donkey, put all this wood that he would use to burn the offering, brought Isaac with him up to the mountain. And we are told, Abraham tied his son up and was about to plunge his knife to kill him, God said, stop. Stop. And God supplied the sacrifice. How could Abraham do such a thing? By faith, Abraham, when tested, God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham, listen to this, Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. The only way that Abraham could do that was because, firstly, he believed God when God promised him, through Isaac, your generations to come will be reckoned. He believed God. And so he reasoned, well, God promised me this. If I kill him, Isaac, God will raise him up again. And when he reasoned that, he also believed in the powerful God who not only gives life, but can resurrect life. That is faith. If he had walked by sight, he would not have left Haran. If he had walked by sight, he would not have dared to plunge that knife into Isaac. He was ready to do that. And because of that, God reckoned, you know, this man is righteous by faith. It was on account of his faith that he was deemed righteous, not what he did or didn't do, or what his character was, or his ancestry. And it's the same with all of us. So faith is the key here. And we're talking about the father of faith, as it were. Now, I want to tie Abraham with us today. I want us to look at this passage from Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 to 9. Consider Abraham. He believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles, that is the non-Jews, anyone who's not a Jew is a Gentile, justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through him, so that those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. We are Abraham's children by faith. We are that nation that God promised him. It was through Abraham's faithful lineage. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, and then from there to David, and from David to Christ. It was that lineage that God chose to bring Christ to us as Savior. And it continues from there that we are children of faith because we have believed in Jesus Christ. Listen to what Paul says now. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses. Let me see. Well, it's Jew and Gentile. I'm a bit... what verse is that? 10, 12... Okay. All right. I'll just read from... That's verse 12 and 13. Hang on. Just give me a minute. Okay. There it is. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Verse 14, how then can they call on the one they have not believed? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Now, this is where blessed to be a blessing comes to play. And it is us now that I'm talking about. We receive this by grace as well. Abraham did so then, passed it on, and through Christ, we receive it by grace. Our responsibility, now that we have it, and we have won, we did not receive this grace just to look pretty. Okay, we are not some ornament sitting on the shelf collecting dust. We have a responsibility. So what we have received, we have to pass on. Because if we don't tell others, how are they going to hear? This is what Paul is saying. This is the work we have to do. Lastly, I want to just talk a little bit of what it means to be blessed. Because this word and its derivatives is used about 5 times in those 3 verses. We need to get a grip of what it means to be blessed. Most of us might think, okay, in our idea of blessing, it means that you've got a job, you've got your needs provided in terms of financially, you've got a house, you're married, you've got lovely kids, everything's running well. That's a blessing. Health-wise, yeah, I'm well. That's a blessing. Yes, true. But if that is all we think about is a blessing, then we massively narrow down what blessing means. Because if you read from Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, verse 3 to 10, I'll just read to you. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be blessed. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Very quickly, our idea of blessing evaporates when you hear that. It's much wider than that. Why? How do we reconcile that with our idea of blessing? Well, if you recall in the beginning as I was sharing, all right? Now, God created all things on earth and put man in charge so that man might enjoy everything that God created. Everything. The beauty of it and all. And relationships with one another. And most of all, relationship with God. And that is where we should have been. But that is not the case today. Simply because of Adam and Eve, when they chose to disobey God, they effectively rejected God's authority over them, but they also rejected God's providence. Suddenly, they had to provide for themselves because autonomy, self-rule, you do everything yourself. You provide for yourself. You work like crazy. You don't have enough in your pockets. You know, you eat and eat and eat. You're still hungry. It's things like that. When you toil the land, it doesn't produce as much fruit as it used to. You have to work it. You have to fertilize it. You have to keep toiling, toiling and toiling. And that's why strife happens around the world. People fight to stay on top. People fight because if they don't, they're thinking, nobody will provide for me. Yeah, because you took it on yourself. God had already originally promised, I will provide for you. But because they rejected God, that was what happened. Now, God came to Abraham with the call to steer away, to move away from that self-rule. And that's what the call was all about. Come out from Haran. Because his security was all there. And God says, come out. Follow me. I will provide for you. I will bless you. Those people who will curse you, I will curse. People who bless you, I will bless. This is what God is saying. Come out from there. This is the second chance, as it were. And Abraham trusted God. Wow. That's the blessing on earth, but that is only half the story. There is another blessing. Well, some people will say it's part of a whole. Yes, it's true. Because there is the blessing of what is to come. What is to come? Listen to this in Matthew chapter 8, verse 11. I say to you that many will come from east, the east and the west, and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. This is a future tense. Now, Jesus was talking then. Abraham was 42 generations before. Okay? 42 generations before. And he says this in the future tense. They will be sitting at the feast with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. Life goes on. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are identities. They are persons. They will be there. Matthew 17, verse 2 to 3. There he was transfigured. Now, this is Jesus. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking to Jesus. I've always wondered, how did Peter, James, and John, who were there witnessing this, know that it was Elijah and Moses? Name tags. No, I don't think so. I think we will know everyone when we are in heaven. We will know them as people, identities, real. Now you're forgetting the names, but then you have perfect memory. I think. I hope so anyway. But this isn't that beautiful? We will know each other. We will know the people who have ministered to us, who have brought us to Christ. And the people we have brought to Christ will know us. It will be a fantastic community where we have communion in the presence of God, the God who created us, who made us all we are. But this is a process. This is a training ground to start growing in faith, exercising it, and to walk by faith and not by sight. We have the opportunity every day. It's a choice every day. We are faced with challenges every day, and these two paths come up. Walk by faith or walk by sight. This walk by faith or walk by sight. The choice is ours, and it's renewed every day. And it is a continual testing ground until the day we see the Lord. What Abraham did was an example for us. And what we're facing today, the church building project, it's been tough. And the amount of money we have to raise is quite a big sum. But the bigger it is, the more humanly impossible it is. It's a trial. It's a test. Where are we in this? God said, sacrifice your son. I'm not asking us to do that, by the way. But God said, sacrifice your son to Abraham. But he believed that God was powerful enough to provide as he promised. And that's where we should be. In summary, Abraham was chosen by grace. We were chosen by grace. There was nothing we did in us. There was nothing in our lineage. We were not even Jews. Abraham was justified by faith and blessed to be a blessing. We are children of Abraham by faith, and we're blessed to be a blessing. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you have given us so much, so much, and you're opening the doors for us and giving us a path to walk, a path that we can walk by faith. Lord, help us to see you as you really are, the God who is all-powerful, the promise-keeping God, the one who is faithful and loves us dearly, that we might walk in faith in you and not by sight. And bless others as we have been blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.